Good morning to you. Y'all just out on this rainy, nasty Sunday morning. We're so happy to have you here this morning. Hopefully you will be blessed by being here this morning. Welcome. If you are a first-time guest with us, please make sure and register your attendance on the pads here at the edge of the pews as they're passed down. We'd love to get a chance to meet you. If you are a first-time guest or even a returning guest, make sure and shake her hands as we go out to Pastor Mary's hand and let her know that that you're a first-time guest. Just a few announcements. The this coming Tuesday, Teenagers, that's with a K, you don't want to miss this. The Central High School Jazz Band is going to be performing at noon. Now, I understand that that jazz band is quite good. So it's $7. So that's going to be, $7 for the meal, but you have to call and reserve your spot. So do so tomorrow morning. If you want to come to that at noon, call the church office and reserve your spot. It's going to be great. Also, the youth want your Christmas presents. Now, they don't want your Christmas presents. They want them to wrap for you. You know, sometimes during the Christmas season, we get so busy that we wish that we had somebody that could wrap our presents for us. So the youth is going to do that. Now, depending upon the size of the package, it's going to be between $2 and $7. But start bringing those Tuesday to the church. This is a fundraiser for the youth, so please support that. And then they will be ready for pickup next Sunday. There'll be bows and ribbons, and they say they're going to do a great job, so let's support them. Also, next Sunday will be a family life event. It's called Christmas Carols, Casseroles, and Cookies with St. Nick at 5 p.m. next Sunday. Now, we're all invited to this wonderful night of fellowship. The church is going to provide the meat for the meal. If you're coming and your last name begins with an A through M, then you bring the dessert. See, my last name starts with a W, so I never get to bring the dessert I want, so I may get with you. If your last name begins with an N through Z, bring a side dish. So please put it on your calendar to be here next Sunday night, and we'll just have a wonderful, wonderful time. Look around. See somebody you don't know. Go introduce yourself and pass the peace of Christ between yourselves. Would you please stand and join with us in the congregational call to worship? You'll find the song number 204 in your hymnal. It's Emmanuel, Emmanuel. The choir will sing through the first verse, and then we are welcome to join on the second verses and following. Standing as we join in our hymn of praise, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, hymn number 211.
Oh, Thank you. Won't you please be seated as we invite the Ardoin family to come forward at this time.
As the family is coming forward, I invite the congregation to be prepared at their point of participation as you turn to page 44 in your hymnal. And at the appropriate time, I'll be inviting you to say the congregational pledge. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is given to us without price. Today, Shannon and Troy Ardoin present their son, Walker Lee, for holy baptism. So I ask to you, Troy and Shannon, this question. Will you nurture Walker in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's guidance for himself and grace, to profess his faith one day openly and lead a Christian life? And if you will, your response is, we will. Let us pray together. Most blessed Father, we give you thanks over this water you have provided and blessed through your Holy Spirit. We recall the baptism of Jesus Christ and the anointing of our Lord through your Spirit. We understand through our baptism, we grow to know Jesus. And one day convicted of our sin, we become ready to proclaim him as Savior. Pour out your Holy Spirit and bless Walker Lee, who receives this water now. May he be clothed in righteousness and grow in your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Walker Lee Ardoin, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Having been born of the water and the Spirit, may you grow in your faith and love as Jesus Christ and be a holy disciple. Amen. Now, one of the things that the pastor has a privilege of doing is letting him meet his new church family. You don't mind if we take a little stroll. He knows a grandmother when he sees one. These are your new brothers and sisters in Christ. How about that? So far, so good. Yeah. Mom, Dad, I think he kind of likes to be paraded. Yeah. Yeah. That was an amen. Now, congregation, won't you please stand now and affirm your faith and your commitment to this child. Members of the household of faith, I commend to your love and care Walker Lee Ardoin, whom this day we recognize as a member of the family of God. Will you endeavor so to live that he may grow in the knowledge and love of God through our Savior Jesus Christ? With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that this child, surrounded by steadfast love, may be established in the faith and confirm and strengthen in the way that leads to life eternal. Let us please pray together. Thank you, O God, for this precious life of Walker Lee and for his loving family. Bless them, Lord, and keep them now and forevermore in your love and in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. And at this time, we invite the Jagannotti family to come forward and light our first candle of the Advent wreath.
We are reading Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We have a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, our hope in Jesus Christ. That meaning, what is the candle meaning? We light this candle as a symbol of Christ, our steadfast hope of our personal salvation. Jesus Christ is our hope in life when we find ourselves facing a world of despair. Let the light of your hope and belief in Jesus Christ, the Savior of all, be your counsel and guide this season and forevermore. Please join us in the congregational prayer response. Congregational response. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our hope eternal. As we share Christ with others, may each find their hope in him, now and forevermore. In Christ's name, amen.
All right, if my friends will come forward. Good morning. How are we this morning? Good. Did y'all have a good Thanksgiving? Eat lots of turkey? Stuffing? Green bean casserole? Did you bring any for me? Okay, great. No Halloween candy and no Thanksgiving leftovers. All right, this morning I want to talk about sharing good news. Has somebody shared good news with you? Maybe. Or have you shared good news with somebody else? Like when you've gotten a great grade on a test that you were worried about. Or when you have found something that maybe you've lost. Or there's just a big secret that you need to tell someone. That's just good news. Have y'all done that before? You have? Good. Others? I know y'all share good news. I know that y'all get home in the afternoons and you're like, I did well on my test and I made an A and all of that. And y'all get so excited, right? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Well, today, talking about sharing good news, is that I wanted to talk about the shepherds. Because they were so excited because they had heard that someone was coming. Do you remember who that was? Jesus. The baby Jesus was coming. And they were so excited about the birth of baby Jesus that they wanted to go and they wanted to share the news to everyone. That they even went and looked for the baby, didn't they? They were one of the people that came to the manger. And so as we go into Advent, because today's the first Sunday in Advent. So as we go into the Advent season, I want us to be like those shepherds, sharing the good news. Guess who's coming? Baby Jesus is coming. And we're so excited, aren't we? There's another part to Christmas Day, too. Y'all are excited about that, I know. But the good news is that Jesus is coming and that the baby will soon be born. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Help us share the good news with others. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Pray together. I'd like to invite you to look at the prayer needs in our bulletin. also have some additional prayer needs this morning. One of our newest members, LaCrisha Gray, and her family, please keep her in your prayers. Her father died this past Wednesday in a car crash. Also, Connie Daniels' cousin, Danny Hunt, he is in Illinois. He is suffering from heart issues. So I know there are many more needs. The church brings those before you and asks you to keep those families in your prayers. Won't you pray with me, please? God of grace and mercy, as we enter into this season of Advent, help us to refocus and realign with your will. Aid us to prepare our hearts for the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord, who redeems and gives life to a world filled with death. These days leading up to Jesus' birth were as dark as our days seem to be now. May we turn to the hope that this season brings, hope that the light you will bring will cast out the darkness that overwhelms us, hope that you will bring salvation to all of us who chained down by our sin, hope that evil and death do not have the final say, but that you do, and you breathe your Holy Spirit upon us to reinvigorate our passion for your gospel, a gospel to save the least, the last, and the lost. You are the one to light our path. Lord, may we follow you and travel the same path the Holy Family did, so we may witness again the birth of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, God in the flesh that spreads unconditional love to all. And Father, we pray this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This Sunday begins the blanket drive for Stone Soup. Now, this is a challenge, but it's a fun challenge, and let me tell you why. The children are facing off against the youth to see who can get the most blankets donated to them. Now, if the youth wins, Laura gets a pie in the face. But if the children win, then Amy gets the pie in the face. Or maybe I have that backwards, but you see what's going on here. Now, if you somebody's going to get a pie in the face. Hopefully, they tie and they both get a pie in the face. But if you would, if you want to donate a blanket to the children, there's a Christmas tree right outside the children's area where you check those in. Place those blankets there. And if you want to donate a blanket to the youth, there's a box just outside their activity center that you can place those in. So whichever way you go, let's support this and see who's going to get a pie in the face, all right? Pray with me, please. Lord, this season leading up to Christmas reminds us of what we should cherish and how blessed we are as your children. May we embrace a holiday season of giving, of selflessness, and of generosity. So many have so little. Help us to embrace them and share our gifts of love as people who are thankful and inspired to be your disciples. Amen.
Tiny babe in a manger, born a child yet a king.
Save us all, hear the angels.
of peace he is born.
He is born.
Love came down from heaven above on that Christmas morn. Son of God, Son of Mary, in a lowly manger stall, he has come as a child, peace on earth, goodwill to all. Tiny babe in a manger, great glad tidings tell. Come to us, abide with us, Lord Emmanuel. Tiny babe in a manger, born a child yet a king, has come for to save us all. Hear the angels sing. Born a child, yet a
remain standing and join with us in the hymn of meditation, People Look East, hymn number 202.
Morning. Once again, it's my joy to share with you from the Word of God as we find it in the book of Luke. Reading from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 31, may the people of God be refreshed in their spirits as they hear from this Word of our Holy God, found in Luke 1, 26 through 31. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This Advent season, Reverend Chase and I are beginning a series of the places of Christmas. Where do we find Christmas occurring in our lives? And as we read about this wonderful passage of old, about the angel's message to Mary, we travel back to a village. Mary, what do you think about when you hear that name? Do you think of peasant virgin? Do you think of miraculous conception? Do you think of unexpected expecting? Do you think of favored one, chosen by God? Perhaps many thoughts come to your mind as you think about Mary, but imagine the thoughts racing through her mind following this message from Gabriel. In the sixth month, the sixth month of what, I asked? The sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Elizabeth being the cousin of Mary. Now, Gabriel's been quite busy. Not only has he sent a message to Elizabeth and Zechariah that the child which they had longed for was now about to be born to the one that they would call John the Baptist. But now Gabriel has once again been on God's mission, this time coming again to Elizabeth's cousin Mary, who is living in Nazareth, the same town as her fiance, Joseph. Now, Joseph wasn't just any fiance, no. Joseph was of royal lineage, of the descendant of the great King David, king of southern Israel, Judah. And Joseph was a tradesman. He had a carpentry business, well respected in the village. Then there was Mary, poor but pure. Pure physically, pure spiritually. Yes, indeed, this was going to be a good match. The scripture continues, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with the Lord." In other words, you are in God's greatest grace. Grace, it's such a beautiful word, isn't it? And as we think about the word grace, it is even a more awesome concept, for in Greek, the word for grace is charis. And it means that which is given freely. Love which is given undeserved, not by anything the recipient has done. No, it is a prominent word in the New Testament. Think about how many times we have read Paul's letters and how often it either begins or ends, "And may the grace of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all." Grace. And now it's in the pronouncement of Mary's honored role within God's mission and plan for her life. Grace is an extremely important ideal for you and for me in our identity as Christians. To experience grace is to experience an extreme kindness from God and an unfailing love and God's great blessings to us of forgiveness and salvation. It is not deserved again, but freely given. I like to think of it as grace, that which intersects our normality. In other words, we have done nothing special to deserve it. Grace has power to change lives. When you make the decision to practice grace, what you are doing is saying, You have made a decision to do something positive to mend that fence, that you are going to forgive and dissolve that grudge, that you are going to practice mature love and let it go. And when you do that, you have channeled God's power, and it changes lives. Over the course of my ministry as senior pastor, naturally my role is to be a leader of the church. And in being a leader of the church, I have been a recipient of grace as well as a giver of grace. Because it just puzzles me so, but a few people over the years I have managed to tick off. And over the years, there have been a few people that seem to make it their pastime to make my life miserable. Neither instance is a particularly spiritual moment. No, anger and pride are human, and they are also sinful behaviors and not spiritual. What do you do? You commit to forgive. You commit to pray, and you move forward. Her name was Evelyn, not really. It's to protect the guilty. She took pleasure in finding my faults, keeping score, and sharing the results with others. The entire time I was her pastor, this was her pastime. Until one day, a member of her family passed away. No one in that family called me, but a parishioner in the church made sure I knew. I went straight away over to the home. When she opened the door and saw me, she seemed surprised by my arrival. In the moment of ministry, you see, you don't remember grudges. In the moment of ministry, you are in the midst of God's presence. And there is absolutely no room in your human heart for both grudge and the Spirit of God. It just cannot happen. So I listened to them tell of the last moments of their loved one's life. I listened to their pain. I comforted as I could, and I led them in a prayer. And later on, I presided over the funeral. I would love to tell you that following this experience, the spitefulness stopped. It did not. But I like to think that before she ever did anything or say anything else that was negative toward her pastor, that she felt just a little twang of guilt, maybe pierced her heart just a tad. And I thought, even that is an example of grace changing lives. Hail Mary, full of grace, the angel declared. It was a reminder that Mary was being filled with grace. God's grace, that loving kindness, that presence like no other human being can possibly compare. No. She was experiencing the grace, the compassion, the goodness, and the love of her God. And it was not given to her by anything she had necessarily done, and she knew that. Something else unique about grace, it deepens relationships. Look at Mary and Elizabeth. Cousins, they lived somewhat apart. It wasn't like they could call each other up and play catch up. It wasn't like they got to go over next door and have a cup of coffee with one another. But they were kinswomen, and they loved each other, and they cared for each other. And there was this mutual admiration and grace. Elizabeth shared a piece of the continuous mystery. For at the sound of Mary's voice as she came to share the news, the mysterious, miraculous news that she too was expecting, the baby inside Elizabeth's womb leapt at the presence coming toward her of the unborn Savior of the world. Even Jesus unborn was affecting life, just as Jesus affects life today. Jesus, there's a song in our hymnal that says there's something about that name. Indeed, there is. Names are important. The Bible lists many, many important names that are crucial to where you and I are today as Christians. It's crucial to salvation history. Jesus loves his name because God picked it out. God's been in the business of choosing and changing names throughout the Bible. We remember Abram as Abraham. We remember Sarai as Sarah. Why, even Simon was renamed Peter. And then, of course, Saul became the Apostle Paul. So now God delights in naming his son. And notice, too, besides not having the privilege of naming her child, Mary also doesn't need genetic testing. She's been told that she is going to bear a son. And not just any son, but God's only son. And his name would be Jesus. Now, a typical Jew in Jesus' time had only one name unless it was supplemented by the father's name or the individual's hometown. So in the New Testament, you quite frankly run across several references as to Jesus' full name. Jesus is commonly referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. We find this in Mark's gospel. And Jesus' neighbors in Nazareth referred to him as the carpenter's son, the son of Mary and Joseph. The name Jesus is derived from Hebrew Yeshua, meaning Yahweh is salvation. Later on, in Matthew 16:16, Peter says about Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And from there forward in the early church, Jesus is not just Jesus, he's Jesus Christ, because Christ means the anointed or Messiah. So we have this full name of Jesus. And it's interesting, too, that in Matthew, he's the only gospel that begins with the genealogy of Christ. Again, the importance of the name. Jesus would be called the Nazarene or Jesus of Nazareth because both Mary and Joseph hailed from there. But here we find that they return to live following having to go to Bethlehem for the census that was mandatory. Now, I want to share with you a little bit. We're thinking about village today. I want to share with you a little bit about this journey from one village to another. They're in Nazareth. They're going to Bethlehem. You have any idea how far that is? That's some 80 to 90 miles between the two villages. And Mary is well into her ninth month. Now, as you look at the terrain of that area, the first few miles would be flat. And we suppose that Mary's on a donkey. We don't know. She could have traveled some of it by foot, some by donkey. But the fact is, they were only able to make 10 miles at the most per day. So in her ninth month of pregnancy, she is walking by foot or perhaps some on the donkey, and they are making only 9 or 10 miles, and this is well over a week, more like 9 to 10 days. Don't you know fear and anxiety kicked in? Not only for Mary, but for Joseph, who felt so responsible for her. Think about the questions that must have been running through their mind. Where would they stay once they got there? Would they make the full journey without the baby being born? Would the baby be healthy once the baby was born? So many questions. Leaving her village and all that was familiar to her, the nice warm home, her family and her friends, added to the sacrifice, added to the weariness. Mary trusted Joseph and did what she needed to do, but Mary also trusted in God. knowing that God had hand chosen her for his plan, and imagine being cared for by God. Is there any greater care? When they arrived, what did they find? Remember the message of the angel that had sustained Mary in 9 to 10 days of grueling walking or riding mountains and valleys. The message had been, "Blessed are you among women. Grace of God is upon you. Do not be afraid." And they entered into Bethlehem, and it looked worse than any Black Friday that you could imagine. People trampling among one another. The noise level. People pushing into each other. Doors were closed, shut to the new life of Jesus being born. People were too busy. They were too preoccupied trying to get to where they were supposed to go and do what they were supposed to do to notice that the miracle was before them. People were just too focused on their needs. And my friends, in Jesus Christ, we still are. We're so focused on our needs and even more focused on our wants. In our world village, parts of the world that are growing, like in Asia and Africa, growing in the Christian movement, do you know why? Because they're hungry to know Jesus Christ. Has our hunger waned? Do we take Jesus for granted in our well-fed lives? On that day so long ago, the streets were filled to capacity in the village of Bethlehem. People were pressing into one another in a city to pay their taxes, while you and I are pressing in our business to get all of the boxes checked before December 25th. To get all of the boxes checked before year end. That's our pressing business. Have we become too distracted, too exhausted to experience the miracle before us, that of Jesus? Go back with me on that night when the angel came. Mary's probably in the midst of doing chores. And from everything we've read, an angel always has a certain light about them. And in the midst of sweeping a floor or wiping a dish or helping with the animals, there's this light out of nowhere. "Hail Mary, O favored one, for God has chosen you. You are to bear a son. His name shall be Jesus. Do not be afraid, Mary." Had she been too busy, too distracted, she would have missed the most important message of her life. It makes me wonder, is God trying to penetrate our lives at any moment and at any second with a message that could change our lives that we are about to miss? You need to set some quiet time aside, my friends, this Advent season. We all do. So that you can really hear what Christ is saying to you, because we're not here today to play church. We're not here today to play church. We're here today to worship the one, the only one who can change us, and to give us spirit so we can go out in that mad world and make a difference, and do so in the name of Christ. Focus on Christ for just a moment. Let his spirit mysteriously fill you with something you won't experience by any other person in any other way this season or any season of your life. for Christ came, as the prophecy says, as a light of salvation for the nations. Christ, then, is that light that can penetrate any darkness, any void, any emptiness that you have. That night so long ago, an innkeeper had no room. But I must assume in the goodness of humankind that in his compassion he offered that manger. I have to believe that because Jesus said he knew what was in the human heart. He knew our potential. And he said, when you do unto someone else, you do unto me. And that goes both ways. When you deny someone else, you have denied me. When you give to someone else, you have given to me. My friends, that night it seems all roads led to the village of Bethlehem, where the greatest experience ever known was part of its landscape. I don't need to stand up here before you today and tell you how much the world needs you and your acts of kindness and your presence of love and forgiveness. But I will. Because the Lord needs you to be a part of the pathway to bring others to Christ. And today in our announcements, we have given several ways in which we can give beyond our regular tithes and offerings, but give in a way that also will meet a need in humankind, whether it's a blanket to warm someone up. Maybe it's to help with stone soup on the last Sunday of December, feeding the homeless. Maybe it's to give to the Methodist Family Health, which helps families in need. So many ways, whether it's to drop that dollar or two in a red kettle, even if it's numerous times in just one day. But I want to challenge you today to do something perhaps differently than you were going to do. I want to challenge you today, whenever you do those things and you give it, please, I plead with you to do so in the name of Jesus. To say, I give you this blanket in the name of Jesus Christ. I give you this food today in the name of Jesus Christ. I give this dollar to the homeless in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine how if we plant the name of the one we praise, of the birthday whom we celebrate. Can you imagine if we do that over and over? This world is not only going to hear of Jesus Christ, they're going to believe in it because look what a stranger did for them. But without that name, it's just something you did, not something Jesus did through you. And are we not here to glorify the one? I believe that now is the time that we join in the journey to lead others to Christ. And I believe that we should do that by saying the name of the one who we are experiencing grace because he died on the cross, that we would be given grace and salvation forevermore. And in that grace, then we are called not to travel to a village so long ago, but you and I are called to be the village. To be the village of Christ in this world, welcoming all, because we have room for yet another to know Jesus Christ. We're called to be the village. May we not forsake that call. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of commitment today is A Little Town of Bethlehem, 230. I was in the Horizon Sunday School class this morning, and Richard, who is leading the lesson this morning, invited the class to look closely, especially to verse 4. So as we stand and sing this hymn, I invite you to look closely, especially to verse 4, when it talks about Christ entering in our hearts, and we will never be the same. again. As we prepare to sing, if there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, renew that faith, or to come forward to pray, we invite you to do so. Let us be standing. It's been such a joy to be with all of you on this very special day, not only for the Ardoin family, but for the whole family of God as we begin this blessed of all seasons, the Advent season. I do hope that you will take your insert that you found in your bulletin home, because it has some marvelous opportunities for fellowship and for praise in the next few days. And just continue to look at the website and future bulletins, because we've got a lot going on this coming month. And I want to especially lift up the Hendricks College Choir. Our own Hannah Shelton will be a part of that, singing in that on the 18th. It's always a privilege to be able to host that choir. And then we've got a lot of things going on, which of course Doug shared with you earlier. But let's just be very mindful of how we can share Christ. And so often, just as much as a simple invitation, hey, our church is having this or this or this, and we'd love to have you. Won't you come? Love to pick you up. Just things like that are just very simple, but very wonderful ways to include others. Let us receive the benediction together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.